I'm the best in the world at what I do. I've been the best since day one. On this microphone, in the booth, in my bed, I live it, I breathe it, I am it. Welcome to the Soldier Thoughts of Donnie Wu podcast, featuring the one and only Donnie Wu, best of what he does. Listen at your own risk. What y'all waiting on?
What I do, brother, jump on that 90 shit I did when it was new, back before everything was hot and people had a clue. Everyone was original, even if they were twos. Hit the B-square, passed down to my ears. You never met a dude without an ounce of care. Straight hill villain, got no time to be fair. Mad murder, a rap blinded by devils on the dare. Fuck all that shit, no time to make it gloomy. Keep a land of make-believe, a big budget movie. Keep me thinking groovy, listen to me smoking doobies. When I had curly hair, girls used to think I'm coolie. I fooled them, it was water and Vaseline. It was too late to find out my pipe game was mean. My dick on their mind, had the cat about the cream. In the kind of month, they always made a fucking scene. About my greens, they chasing after dollars. Holla if you swallow, if not, I can't be bothered. My dog mentality, that's why I'm cursed with two daughters. They got two big brothers and a bipolar father. No, they can't date unless you wanna meet your face. Keep the chastities in place till it deemed to be safe. Seeing face to face with the embodiment of hate. Superhero dad with an H on his cape.
There's a million and one podcast all over the world that got the good vibes for all you boys and girls. Which one do you listen to? Salty Thoughts of Donnie Wu. And what the hell he do? The best in the world of what he do. Yeah. Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Wu podcast. Featuring the one and only Donnie Wu. Oh, best of what of what he does. Yeah, man. First week in the books of the NBA playoffs. And when I say I got a lot of fucking thoughts, a lot of views, a lot of salt to spew on this first week, that would be an understatement. We have the Brooklyn Nets, the gentrification Nets, down 0-2 to the Boston Celtics. We have the fucking Philadelphia 76ers about to sweep the Toronto Raptors right out of the postseason, up 3-0. We have two important major injuries to two contending teams. Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns has been ruled out of the rest of the first round series against the New Orleans Pelicans due to hamstring issues. And in the East, we have Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks, who are currently tied 1-1 with the Chicago Bulls in this series. He is going to be out for at least 2 to 3 weeks with a sprained MCL. We have my Golden State Warriors up 3-0 against the Denver Nuggets. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves down 2-1, and they lost game 3 in historic fashion against the Memphis Grizzlies. And last but not least, we have the Dallas Mavericks up 2-1 on the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz, their play in the first 3 games of that series has almost been enough for me to bring back a segment, which I'm not going to bring back at this time, at least not this episode, but they are firmly in the number one position to be the winner, the recipient of They Fuckers Are Trash. They are fucking trash. But I called that shit in my half-ass NBA playoff preview. Yeah. So that's a lot of things that we have on deck this episode this week. And if I do not either forget, or if this podcast doesn't approach the hour and a half, 2 hour mark, I might just give a couple views on the New York Stankies, who are currently 7-6 and stinking it up on a nightly basis, and my Amazons, who are the first team to reach double digits, the first team to reach 10 wins, and the first team to actually not lose a series in this very, very, very young Major League Baseball season. Yeah. Whole bunch of shit on deck. And I got a whole bunch of salt to fucking spread. So, yeah, it should be an interesting one. Before we get this shit on the ring, let's go and do the normal shit. As usual, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me and this podcast the one y'all choose to listen to. That's really all I gotta fucking say on that. So, because I think I'm gonna fuck up this intro, let's get this shit on the road. Ah! Without further ado, good night, mwah, and goodbye.
You know, before I start off with this rant, my first rant of the episode, I have to admit that the first full week of playoff action in the NBA has been fantastic. And when I say fantastic, I mean it. I just witnessed a potential meltdown, some of the most idiotic, low IQ basketball play that I've seen in recent history, in recent memory, I should say. And from what I speak of, or who I speak of, the fucking Minnesota Timberwolves, they just eked out a 1-point victory in game 4 of their series against the Memphis Grizzlies. They ultimately, in the last 2 minutes, they missed 2 to 3 free throws, 2 free throws by Patrick Beverley. They committed stupid fouls, stupid turnovers, like there was one play, I believe, under a minute remaining, that Memphis shot and missed the ball. So the rebound is going out of bounds. The ball is going out of bounds. And Carl Anthony Towns is hustling to the ball, and then he ends up getting the ball while he's stepping out of bounds. So, right then and there, you're up. I think they was up 5 at the time. You give the ball right back to Memphis. Memphis, I believe, shot a 3, chopped it to 2. And they ultimately was able to salt it away at the line.
One of the announcers, fucking Richard Jefferson, last play of the game, last possession of the game, they're up four. It's like maybe 5 seconds remaining. Richard Jefferson says, if I'm Minnesota, I'm walking to the locker room. There's nothing you can do that can cause them to catch up in 6 seconds with no timeouts. So don't do anything. And what the fuck did they do? Call Anthony Towns, trying for the steal on the inbound. Anthony Edwards, trying for another steal. And ultimately, Bane shot the three at the buzzer. That's why you got the 1 point deficit. Now, if that's an N1, game goes into overtime. Here we go again. But between that and the fucking Brooklyn Nets, yeah, I'm just going to get on them right now. Minnesota, I ain't forget about y'all, but that was the most pertinent information that was in the atmosphere as I speak right now, as I record this segment right fucking now. Earlier today, the Gentrification Nets lost another game, this time at home in the rusted-ass Barclays Center. They lost against the Boston Celtics to go down 0-3 in their best-of-seven series in the first round. This game, to me, was never in doubt. Of course, Brooklyn raced on to a 7-2 lead, 12-5 lead. But once Boston took over, it was a wrap. KD was not the self-confident, easy sniper, 35/7/2-time finals MVP that he normally is. Call a spade. Why? The Boston Celtics D over the last two games, plus the workload that he has undertaken in the last 3 to 4 weeks of the regular season just to get them into the play-in and get them into the playoffs, starting to take its toll. Kyrie, after dropping only 10 points in game two, returned with a strong 16. KD also scored 16. You know who was the leading scorer on the Gentrification Nets? Bruce Brown. Yeah, Bruce mother effing Brown. After the first game in which he pretty much stunk it up because KD had to check him pregame and telling him don't allow them to get any bulletin board material, he's the only net that showed his ass in the last two games. Credit due to Bruce Brown. But also by design. Also by design. The Boston Celtics on defense consistently have three players in the vicinity of where Kevin Durant starts to roam. When he's, well, I would say when he's running through screens, but that would say, or that would mean that there was actually a play call and fucking Steve Nash has yet to call a play to me. This is what their offense consists of. Play at the top of the key, one pick, and the next three are across, you know, around the three-point line in an attempt to space the floor. And that's what their offense is. Maybe if you get some penetration, maybe you can kick it out. But the beginning and the end of their offense is top of the key, go to a pick. That's it. There's nobody cutting. the only one that's actually doing some type of movement, and that's minuscule, but just enough to make a difference, is Bruce Brown. Because he's the one that usually darts in the paint for the gimme floater. Darts in the paint for the dunk. Now, before I get off topic, because there's a lot of things I want to touch upon when I'm talking about the gentrification Nets. To me, 3-Zip, that's it. They're not coming back. Even if they steal one at home. Yes, I said steal one at home. Because to my ear and to a lot of ears, there was a lot of Boston fans in the Barclays Center. It was almost, to me, 50-50. And that proves to me, matter of fact, it doesn't prove to me, it should prove to the masses that the gentrification Nets will never be the team in the city. Never. Ever. It's never going to happen. No matter how bad the Knicks stink, no matter how bad the Knicks never get into actual championship contention, it will always be a blue and orange town. It will always be a blue and orange city. Because you know who the fuck these gentrification Nets are? You know who they actually remind me of? But actually, they got more, way more talent than what they remind me of. They remind me of some strobe light honeys. Yeah, that's right. Some strobe light hoes. If y'all don't remember who the strobe light hoes of the city are, those are the New York Football Giants. Yeah, I got to bring them into the conversation. And for those who don't know what the definition of a strobe light hoe is, let me spell it out for you. Go to the club. Get a little tipsy. Get a little nice. And you're dancing. And you see the booty and you ride up real nice. And you start doing whatever you do into the club. And then, you know, you got to have a nightcap, right? Right. So, when you wake up and you see them in full sunlight, in full brightness, and see their natural beauty or lack thereof, that's what you call a strobe light hoe. They look nice under strobe lights, but not so nice in the sunlight. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that paper crumbling? Y'all know that's Donnie Ooze. Trusty ass notes! Topic number one. The Nets. Steve Nash is being outcoached by Ume Udoka. Yes. I mean, that's like plain to see. Udoka was the assistant coach last year on the Brooklyn Nets. Udoka has, I believe, coaching ties to San Antonio. Do you not think that that man can coach? Do you not believe that that man knows the ins and outs of their go-tos because Steve Nash wasn't really doing a goddamn thing? Excuse my language. I hope I said got, because I meant got. G-O-T, like Game of Thrones. Anyway. Steve Nash, like I said, the first set that I see, the first play I see them run will be the first I've ever seen him do. You know what he does in the huddle? Yeah, guys, keep it up. Keep it up. Yeah. Yeah. This goes back to when Kyrie Irving said at the beginning of last season, well, you know, we don't really need a coach. You know, some days I coach, some days KD coach, you know, and some days the coach. How is that going about right now? Remember they had Kenny Atkinson. Bomani Jones actually said this point, so I'm going to parrot it right now because it really makes sense. If and when, I added the when, but if and when they get eliminated in this first round, that will make 3 years with the Kyrie KD experiment. Yeah, I know the first year, pandemic, bubble, blah, 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 but it's still, that's 3 seasons. And they only won one playoff series. Meanwhile, Kenny Atkinson, with a ragtag group, or should I say, a ragtag group which in which he helped develop into NBA players, a Caris LeVert, a D'Angelo Russell, a Jared Allen, amongst others. You know, those players that they need to jettison out the paint. He got them to the playoffs. Adding KD and Kyrie was supposed to get you more than one series victory in 3 years. I mean, really, really, think about it. KD, last game, game two, well, I shouldn't say last game. Well, last game is according to these notes. Flip. KD in game two shot 4 for 17. 2 to 3 defenders was around him at all time. There was no easy looks. There was no set plays. Everything was basic. Pick and rolls and ISOs. Udoka knows KD's weaknesses from being in Brooklyn last year. KD tried the same shit in Golden State and clashed with Kerr about it. Yeah. Remember at the very, very end of the 3 year dynasty. Matter of fact, his part of the 3 year dynasty, because the dynasty lives on. If y'all know who the fuck I'm talking about Warriors. Toward the end, he wanted to do ISO, i.e., he wanted to do it himself. And those times that he chose to do ISO, and the times that Kerr relented and said, you know what, all right, we got some couple minutes, couple possessions, you do you. Those are the times in the playoffs the offense got bogged down. Remember against Houston? It was almost like he wanted to go mano a mano with James Harden. Made no sense. I didn't understand it. Everybody didn't understand it. Remember, Curry was asked around that time, what do you prefer? He was like, you know, everybody would love to go ISO and do their thing. But at the end of the day, I think I like championships more. Truer words have never been spoken. I'm not saying KD can't do his thing or shouldn't do his thing. But there has to be some type of structure. Because right now, what I'm seeing, I'm just seeing a 10-year older version of the old OKC, where it would be KD on one side and Westbrook on the other. And they would take turns back and forth. And everybody else was spread around, and Perkins was underneath the basket waiting for a rebound. So instead of Perkins, now you got Drummond, and now you got Claxton underneath waiting for a rebound. And the coaches, you had Scott Brooks and you had Steve Nash. Both seemed like they were scared to death to tell these motherfuckers, yo, this is what we got to do. Heartbreaking loss in game one. 17-point lead in game two, and they lost. They were held to 42 second half points in game two. In game three, Boston actually heralded the return of Mr. Williams back from surgery. Meanwhile, the saga continues with one Mr. Ben Simmons. Y'all probably thought I really fucking forgot to talk about Ben. Ben really actually should get his own segment, but nah. Because tell you the truth, if I was a Nets fan, if that motherfucker was sitting on the bench, how he was looking, and he told y'all, or he told everybody, yo, you ready for game three? Nah. I'm looking for game four. Game four is Monday. Game three was tonight. So if you're ready for game four, or you about 85% sure you're ready for game four on Monday, and you was quick with the not gonna be able to do it. Not gonna be able to do it. Can you do it? And this man from Boston came back from surgery. And you haven't played in a year. I'm sorry. If I was a Nets fan, I'd be looking at this dude real, real funny style. Matter of fact, he looking real, real funny style. Because they dusted Blake Griffin off the bench. And I believe he had about 11 points in the fourth quarter. He had some hustle defensive plays. You could tell he was hurt and he was limping out there. You know, he was hampered. He was laboring. But yet, Blake was doing everything he could to try to help his team be victorious. Meanwhile, you had Mr. Ben Simmons on the bench looking like a fucking clown. With sunglasses at night, I wear my sunglasses at night. We all these loud colors. Yo, it's not even summertime. It's barely spring. Don't feel like spring. It's going to be like 35 degrees on the next couple of days. The fuck? Anyway. Back to my notes. No, but not back to my notes. Ben Simmons. Right now, your team is down 3-0-3. There's no pressure whatsoever. To me, if you want to change the narrative, you do not play in game four. For what? You come out and tease them. All right, y'all eke out game four. Y'all go back to Boston down 3-1. Kyrie and KD still hasn't been able to unlock the mystery in which that is the Boston defense. You know another thing that's, to me, being... Another thing going on with the defense of KD in particular. Back when he was in OKC, and even when he was with the Warriors, Chris Paul would be so successful in defending KD due to his size or lack thereof and his girth, pause, and his strength. Because he was able to get up in pause and cause KD to be very uncomfortable and couldn't really extend. He couldn't get his shot off. So, and he couldn't really dribble around because Chris Paul was closer to the ground than KD was. KD's pushing 7 feet. Marcus Smart creates that problem. And Jason Tatum is just a fucking monster. So between the combination of those two, and then you add in some Jaylen Brown and the actual team defense of the Boston Celtics, that's just a recipe for disaster. It really is. Back to my notes. No, not back to my motherfucking notes. Back to Ben Simmons. So, by you not being able to do all that, because I done went on like five different fucking tangents, and I finally came back to the subject of what I'm talking about. You coming out in game four, what is that to prove? Because, you know, if you win game four, that means you got to win game five. And you got to, well, you got to play in game five. You got to go to Boston, which you're going to play every other day, every other game. For that, stay your ass home. I know all the Philly players, all the Philly fans are laughing at him. Like, see, I told y'all. But I'm glad he's not on my team. Either one. Shit. I'm glad because I don't. We had somebody similar when it comes to not playing. And that was Jeremy Lin, right after Lin's sanity subsided. Jeremy Lin had I think he had torn cartilage in his leg. He was ready for his payday, trying to get his payday in the offseason. And the famous quote, when the Knicks was in the playoffs, playing for their playoff lives against Miami. Of course, he was scared to death of Miami, LeBron and D-Wade, and they shut him down. Anyway, he said, when asked, how's everything going? How do you feel? How's the recovery going? He said, well, I'm about 85%. I'm not ready yet. 85%. I'm not ready yet. Now, don't get me wrong. Personally, for him to be able to secure the bag that he got, I get it. Who knows? If people thought it was a fluke, at least I got my money. I get it. But, you don't, then in that case, you don't say I'm only 85%. In this case, don't say I'm ready for game four, but I'm not ready for game three when your team is fighting for their playoff lives. Can't do that. Can't be able to do it. Not going to be able to do it. Doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't surprise me if he wanted out of New York. Because there's a no-win situation. He comes in, they win, and he has a big part in it. Fuck, you couldn't have came back on Saturday. They win. He doesn't do anything. Okay, now you got another game. You got to deal with it. They lose, and he has a big part of it. Why the fuck didn't you just sit your ass on the bench? They lose. He sits his ass on the bench. Oh, man, you couldn't come back? You have a no-win situation. If I was him, I would say I tweaked my back and fucking in practice and call that what it is. Because there's no way in hell he should subject himself into getting all that. Because when I wrote on my notes, Ben Simmons is looking for game four as a return. Is he scared? Why not game three? They have the players but lack the leadership. Where's Griffin? Well, it was answered in this game. Where's Aldridge? Yeah, where is Aldridge? Is this whole thing a failure? At the end of the day, is this whole thing a failure? if they don't get out the first round. And right now, shit's not going to happen. What are they going to do in the offseason? Are they going, I know I done gave these motherfuckers like a half hour of my time and yours. So basically, what are y'all going to do? Really? I mean, whatever it is, doesn't really make me no difference. But for your claim to the throne of New York, especially being the fact y'all got Brooklyn across your chest, represent the fuck. Like, come on. It, for the rest of these notes, let me just get these shits out the way. Blake gets his first minutes of the series in the fourth quarter. He gives them a lift, two threes, and playing some hard defense. Side note, KD only had 11 shots all game. Do you know Bruce Brown had the most shots on the Nets? And last but not least, the ESPN / ABC cameras was fully focused on the queen of R&B, soul, Mary J. Blige, in the first row. Her and Misa looking like cougars on the prowl. They had a shot of Mary J. barking on fucking Kyrie. Come on, step it up, son. Step it up. And you can see her fucking neck was going. She was on some, yeah, yeah. She was on some fucking Tejada shit back. But yeah, shit. They was looking at fucking Patty Mills. I know a cougar when I see one. I know that look. With a growl. But yeah. Being the fact my shit's going in the red, I guess that means I gotta wrap it up. Yeah, I gotta wrap it up. Yeah, anyway. The Nets going home. And being the fact I'm off my shoot job on Monday, I swear, if I'm not bored to death by watching it, when they get eliminated, I, Donnie fucking Ooh, will make my way down to the Barclays Center. Hopefully. If not, I swear, before the end of these playoffs, or should I say before the end of this week, because they ain't fucking playing no more, Donnie Ooh will rain on the sorrow of the gentrification. That's fair. Now, I'm going to stay in the East and touch upon the Philadelphia 76ers up 3-1 against the Toronto Raptors. I swear this should be my fucking segment of what the hell was I thinking? Can I change my pick? Because I truly believed, and I guess I was a fool for doing so, I truly believed that Toronto was not only going to have a long series with Philadelphia, they was actually going to dispose of them in 6 games. And then I think I even adjusted it to 7 games. Meanwhile, they'd be lucky if they get the 6 games without being eliminated. Fred VanVleet went down with an injury late in the second quarter, in the game 4 victory against Philly. Joel Embiid is playing with the torn ligament in his right thumb. He only dropped 22 points this afternoon. He was, to me, was not nowhere near his dominant self that we've been accustomed to seeing this season. Potential MVP. James Harden, to a certain degree, picked up the slack, dropped the season, which got game high 22, in which he shared the honors with Embiid. But I'm definitely more disappointed in Toronto. Now, the Scottie Barnes injury notwithstanding, even with that injury, they were getting their ass bust. in that game. And I truly believe that, especially with their success at the end of the regular season against Philly, that they were going to be able to not only put a fight, but go on to the second round. Now, like I said, they're going to be staving off elimination this coming Tuesday. Ain't that a bitch? Might be Monday, for all I know. All I know is I hate James Harden, and I am growing to hate Joel Embiid. After game three, Nick Nurse was seen talking to the referees, I guess about the foul discrepancy or the foul calls that he believed that Embiid and Harden and the rest of the crew was getting and that his team wasn't. And Joel Embiid said something to the effect of, shut your bitch ass up. Stop bitching. But yet, at the end of game four, who's going toward the referees? Displaying his disgust for the foul discrepancy? Come on, dude. You're 7 foot whatever. Pushing 300 pounds, if not more. Why are you fishing for calls? You already get more than you should get to begin with. I will give credit where credit is due because they got to this situation by him playing a finesse role and getting the three at the buzzer to put them up 3-0. But just like you was able to go over there and talk your shit after a victory, you need to sit there and swallow your shit after a loss. That's why Philly is my most hated team currently in the NBA playoffs, at least in the East. I got multiple in the West, but at least in the East. Miami lost a very winnable game three in the ATL against the Hawks. But I believe that win is just prolonging the inevitable. Because for what I saw that unless Capella is able to return in this series and able to give them something, which I believe he's been ruled out of, they are not going to have enough size, and they're not going to have enough inside presence to beat Miami in 7 games. So, personally, I wish they would have just lost. Plus, I really do not like Trae Young. So, if they would have got swept, that would have been great. But them getting bounced in 5 would be just as good. Right now, Miami's up 2-1. Jimmy Butler in game 2 dropped 45. Game 3, not so much. But in all these series, especially with the team returning home, and they're down, I always expected the quote-unquote upset here and there. I just wasn't confident enough to bet my own money. I'm going long game. That's exactly why I'm so pissed off at those fucking strobe light hoes, the gentrification Nets. Not so much for the money that I put up, but the potential money that I could have received. That's how I calculate losses. Anyway, Miami up 2-1. Let's get this shit over with. Chicago and Milwaukee. I'm not going to lie. That's a series that I have not paid not one bit of attention of. All I know is Milwaukee's up 2-1. Middleton is out for that series. So the quicker they're able to dispatch of the Bulls, they'll be able to hopefully buy themselves enough time for Middleton to return sooner than later, at least series-wise. So, if I was Milwaukee and being the fact that they kind of blew out Chicago in their home opener, I'm Milwaukee. I'm trying to win these next two games, close out at home, get ready for the next series, which would be Boston, which would be meaning you have to travel to Boston. Somebody made a great point that it's very ironic that Boston made sure that they won the last game of the season so they wouldn't have to avoid playing the Nets. They wasn't afraid of them. Milwaukee had been accused of doing so. Now, since both teams were advanced, Milwaukee doesn't have the home field advantage, the home court advantage anymore. Does Milwaukee care? I don't think so. Does Giannis care? I don't think so. But, so it looks like, to me, the next round, yeah, I know we're not even, we're just going to getting into the game fours, but to me, in the East currently, the next round is going to consist of the Boston Celtics versus the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. Going against the Philadelphia 76ers. Those are some fucking boring ass teams. I'm going to just have to watch every other night for my Warriors, who I will speak about later. And that's the way I'm going to enjoy the playoffs. But one thing that I want to touch on this, because I don't want to really contaminate with the Western Conference with such talk, such blasphemy that's about to come out my mouth, come out my hole. My hole! Anyway. Isn't it kind of wonderful how you do not have to hear about any drama with the Los Angeles Lakers in one LeBron James? Is LeBron James missed in these playoffs this year? Think about it. To me, I think I've said it before, to me, these playoffs are almost like the beginning or the middle of transition of a changing of the guard. You have Anthony Edwards on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I'll talk about. You got John Morant on the Grizzlies. You got Jordan Poole of the Warriors. You have all these young players. You have Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. You have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And people want to say, we just keep on talking about young, changing the guard. Jason Tatum is only 24 years old. Jaylen Brown, I believe, is only 25. They are still young. They came into the league super young. They just have a lot of experience now. So that's what I mean by, you know, but the changing of the guard. If LeBron was still here, you would have to, his game would be the spotlight game of every time he played, every night he played. You wouldn't get the greatest matchups in the best times, especially being the fact he's on the Lakers. So he's going to monopolize the late game. It's no need. He's still trying to have a little presence felt on social medias. Talking about Luka. Fucking kiss of death. As soon as he said that shit, those motherfuckers lost. Go to fucking losing. 3-6 Mafia. Now, I gotta start off talking about the Western Conference with the only team that is undefeated in these playoffs, and that would be the Warriors. Golden State,
Warriors.
Golden State is currently up 3-0 on those damn Denver Nuggets, led by Nikola Jokic, the Joker, the possibly rumored 2-time back-to-back MVP. It's about to be swept out the motherfucking first round. Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's the only person they have on that team. I mean, they was actually trying to depend on Aaron Gordon to be his number two. Aaron Gordon was perfect in the role that he came to Denver on. And that was to be the number four. The fourth option. And if you got to get down to the fourth option, either that means you blowing him out or you're getting blown out. It's no in between. So now you try to slide him into the second option. You got Morris. You got Austin Rivers still trying to reclaim his shine. But regardless of all that, all they have is the Joker. So for them to even could be competitive in the last game at home, and when I made my predictions on this series, I said, Warriors in 5. Because I figured one of these games, probably game 3, we would lose because combination of them being home with the home court crowd, them being galvanized, the role players play better at home, all that little bullshit, all that jazz. And we'd probably be kind of disinterested, like, we just blew them out at home. Start experimenting with shit. Steph start, doing some careless turnovers, which happened. They'll probably call the game tight and have Draymond Green in foul trouble, which happened. Even though Draymond had the play of the game with the strip of the Joker with under 1 minute remaining to seal victory for the Warriors. Jordan Poole, in his first 3 games of playoff action in his career, dropped 30 in the first game, 29 in the second game, and 27 in the third game. It's a pool party out this bitch. Marquette Busters. Jordan Poole was shown on during one of the timeouts, actually motivating and pumping up Steph, Klay, and Draymond. While the game was tight, like, gotta get this energy up. When asked after the game, why did he feel like he should, why did he feel comfortable in doing so? He point blank said they allow him to. They told him to. From the time he got into the league on that team. I remember that motherfucker from Michigan. And when Golden State picked him up, I was like, I could see him being a splash nephew. And by God, he's done it so far. He made critical plays. He made smart basketball IQ plays, which I will talk about the lack thereof later on in this segment. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Minnesota. But the Warriors overcame the sloppy parts of game 3. They overcame not the best Jokic could do, but damn close to it. Draymond said after the game, I expect him to go for 35 and 15. Easy. And he did. He had like 37 and 16. What does this mean ultimately, though? What does this mean for Golden State? What does this mean for Denver? Well, it don't really mean shit for Denver. Denver really needs to just bow out right now. Just do us all a favor and just bow out. Because y'all going back, coming back to the bay. Y'all really think y'all going to try to snatch one at home and come back to the crib and which going to catch one and snatch one from the bay? Nah, man. But I ain't shit. What Golden State, what I wonder, because right now this slated to meet the winner of the Minnesota Memphis series. And why that perfect segue. The Minnesota-Memphis series is currently tied 2-2. Going back to Memphis for the pivotal game 5. Caught Anthony Towns after a lackluster, dare I say, scarce appearance in game 2, in which he dropped a grand total of, I believe, 8 points and 6 shots, 4 shots. He dropped 30 plus and led his team to victory with clutch free throws down the stretch. Anthony Edwards chimed in with 22, I believe, of his own. D'Angelo Russell. There was multiple times after the 2-minute mark in which he was jacking up threes early in the shot clock or before his team was even set to try to get a rebound with the game still in balance. I'm watching this game like, what the fuck? Anthony Edwards, you can kind of still excuse him because it's still it's his second year. First year in the playoffs, second year in the league. But D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns running and trying to ensnare a rebound when there was no reason to not let that shit go out of bounds. I remember when I was little, I used to say out of balance. I don't know. It just sounded like they used to say out of balance. But yeah, out of bounds. Giving another possession in which Memphis wasn't able to capitalize on. But stupid shit. I look at that game. I look at the couple games that I actually watched in total. Memphis is guilty of it also. But what this series to me is going to prove, if it hasn't proven itself already, Minnesota, right now, is the better team between the two. As evidence, and even though they lost game 3, they had them by 26 points twice. Twice. Do you know that Minnesota gave up runs in that game of 21 to zip and 18 to zip? Towns is so fucking up and down. I don't think he's ready. I don't know who the coach is. But after this performance in game 2, in game 3, they are so lucky they rebounded this tonight. Because he would definitely be on the hot seat. If he shouldn't be on the hot seat as is. I believe the difference between these two, if Memphis wins, is the experience. They lost last year, but they had a taste. Patrick Beverley kind of evens the scales just a little bit right now with his playoff experience. Carl Anthony Towns was in the playoffs, but I don't consider that shit experience. They lost in 5 games to Houston, right? Yeah. Who else? D'Angelo Russell got his little playoff experience in Brooklyn against Philly, in which they took them to 5 games. Ooh. But I believe it was more competitive than Karl-Anthony Towns and the Wolves did that year, or the year before that. But yeah, besides that, who on Minnesota has any playoff experience? Any real grizzled veterans besides Patrick Beverley? None. Zilch. Nada. Not a damn one. But those leads, even though they coughed them up, those leads in consecutive games, the way they have dominated, or should I say controlled, the majority of these games leads me to believe, and leads a lot to believe, that Minnesota is the better team. Now, them coming against the Warriors, I felt bad for them. Memphis, whoop that trick. What? Whoop that trick. What? Whoop that trick. What? I personally want Memphis. I don't want anybody thinking that they was lucky enough to duck the smoke. Because I want the smoke. Always have, always will. So I particularly want Memphis. You know, let y'all motherfucker climb up the chimney for that shit. Minnesota, to me, would be too easy. They fuck around and try to hurt us. Injure us. I know who else right now, to me, should be shitting bricks right now. You know, Phoenix currently is leading 2-1 against the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Pelicans, led by Brandon Ingram, doing the damn thing. CJ being a steady hand to the king of that team anyway. But as much as it kills me to say, as much as I loathe to do this, I must give credit where credit is due. The 2 games in which Phoenix beat New Orleans was firmly at the hands of Chris Paul. Chris Paul, in those 2 fourth quarters, I believe the first one, he dropped 15 in the fourth. This game, he dropped about 19 in the fourth. And him making the winning plays, him knowing the pulse of his team, especially without Devin Booker, him knowing, all right, time for me to take over. And he has. New Orleans still having those growing pains. But I truly believe that Phoenix didn't know that they were going to get into a dogfight with them. Jay Crowder is a bitch. I said it. He's always been a bitch. Back in Boston days, back in fucking Cleveland. Jay Crowder is an agitator to the nth degree. And that's what caused Jackson Hayes to be fucking tossed. They saw the retaliation. One of these days, that's why I can't wait. I remember Draymond said in the last meeting, you know you ain't about that life. You ain't about that. I know where you're from. You from such and such. You ain't about that. Chill. Like, come on, just play up. Just chill. Come on, man. Jay Crowder. One of the many reasons why I hate Phoenix. Sorry, McDowell. But I had to do it. The only reason one of the reasons why I went No, matter of fact, the only reason I want Phoenix to win this series and get to the conference finals is so they can meet my Warriors. And I believe there would be a level of shit talking that would take place between me, myself, Donnie fucking Ooh, and McDowell Winchester. Because that's your boy, McDowell and Winchester. Winchester and McDowell. Between the Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. That series will definitely go seven. And calling it now with the Golden State on top. I have no idea. Maybe it's just the fact that I'm so energized with the Golden State Warriors back in the playoffs that every time I say that W word, I have to say in a different tone, pitch, in whatever. Have to. I can't just say Warriors. No. You say that with me with mere mortal teams. You don't say that about the Golden State Warriors. No, Steph. I wonder if they're gonna bring Steph back into the starting lineup. And if they bring him into the starting lineup, who goes to the bench? Those are questions that need to be answered. They will probably be answered soon. Logically, you would think Jordan Poole will go back to the bench, but it's been seen that Jordan Poole excels when he's in the starting lineup. You're not going to fucking commit to bringing Steph off the bench for the rest of the playoffs, no matter how tantalizing they may be. Klay like, look, y'all going to have to do what the fuck y'all got to do. I ain't going nowhere. You can see Klay like, he's whistling. You know, Klay Steve Kerr going around trying to figure out who I'm going to put out the starting lineup. Klay just sitting there whistling. I know you're not looking at me. But yeah, Phoenix. I'm still going to predict this shit to go in seven games. Because they keep on underestimating fucking New Orleans. Phoenix is going to go on, but right now they're up 2-1 with game 4 this afternoon, if you're listening to this on Sunday. The other matchup in the Western Conference in the last matchup of this week is that's the Dallas Mavericks versus Utah Jazz, which is tied 2-2. Since I last spoke to y'all, Jalen Brunson dropped 30-plus in back-to-back games in leading Dallas to victory in Luka Doncic's absence. Coincidentally, Luka returns this afternoon, and Dallas loses. I'm not saying Luka was the cause. Luka dropped 30. But they play differently. When Luka's in the game, they play differently. Luka's setting everybody up. Luka plays at a slower pace. When Luka was out, you had Jalen Brunson attack. They went super small. And took advantage of Rudy Gobert. While the pace is going as slow as it is when Luka's in the game, that allows Utah to keep Gobert in the game. And Gobert scored the winning basket with 11 seconds remaining off a pass by none other than Donovan Mitchell, rumored to be New York bound. I wonder how much they're going to ask for him. I really do. But the fucking Jazz are trash. I'm sorry. They're fucking trash. They have all the players that you would think that would at least got into the conference finals at least once the last couple years. Remember last season, they were the number one seed. Season before, of course, it was the bubble. But and they had the duel with Mitchell and Murray back to back. I mean, pretty much that whole series, they were averaging 40 each. But I wonder have they reached this ceiling. I believe so. I believe Donovan Mitchell believes so. That's why Donovan Mitchell is going to be New York bound. Excuse me while I drink something because my mouth is parched. But, yeah, Utah is trash to me. And like I told you, I hate the fact that I was going to pick Dallas to win this series. It don't matter that Utah won. Utah could have very well been going back to Dallas three games to one. Even though there's a very good case that Utah should be up 3-1. And there goes the conundrum. There goes the problem. Utah should be better than they actually are. And I believe the quicker that they realize this and scrap it and start selling off the pieces and let Donovan Mitchell come back to New York, then the happier they would be. So, yeah. I don't give a fuck if it's tied 2-2. Dallas in 7. Dallas goes on to face Phoenix in the second round, which should be very, very interesting. If Devin Booker is back. If not, might have an upset in the making. I'm telling you, if Devin Booker is less than at least 80% going into the second round matchup with the Dallas Mavericks, yeah, I'm calling it. Because Utah ain't going to get into the second round. But they get into a matchup. And he's less than 70%. McDowell! Dallas is going to win. And then that would just give me that much more pleasure as a Golden State Warriors fan. And bumping the team that I don't hate them more than Chris Paul. I don't think there's a being in the NBA that I hate more than Chris Paul. Matter of fact, him and James Harden neck and neck. And I wonder where this hate came from Chris Paul. Was it with the Houston Roars? Yeah, that intensified it. I think it was with the Clippers Roars. People don't realize, or people forget, or you're just a bandwagon fan. People don't remember the wars that Golden State and the Los Angeles Clippers used to have at the beginning of this dynasty, in which I think, one year they beat us. But those games. And then after a while, Warriors just had their number. But those games, Chris Paul was just such an irritant. And he would try to bully Steph Curry until Steph got buff and like, nah, motherfucker. Nah, little man. Yo. I mean, shoot. Remember the GIF? That's out. Fucking with Chris Paul laughing. And then all of a sudden to go straight face and look at him like, yeah. Fuck out of here. Yeah, that's Chris Paul. Chris Paul's the type of dude that'll knee you in the nuts to try to get the rebound. Chris Paul is the dude just Chris Paul. Like I said, I gave him his credit, but he's a piece of shit. And if they get bumped, if Dallas bumps Phoenix in the next round, and Chris Paul ends up being collateral damage, so be it. But yeah. So right now, as it sounds, as it stands, this is going to be my shit as follows.
of course, it's going to be my Warriors meeting. I'm going to say Memphis in the second round and Phoenix meeting Dallas in the second round. Yeah, because by the time I record next week, shoot, second round should have started already. Because a lot of these games, a lot of these series, unless they stretch these shits out, come on, people. Shoot, time is money. Money is time. But yeah, by the time I record next week, probably be in the second round already, so I'm going to give my predictions now. Shit. Because I probably already changed my picks. Already made my picks, so hey, can't change my pick! You know, since I got a couple minutes to spare, I'm going to give quick thoughts on the ongoings in the city concerning my New York Amazons and the New York Stankies. First and foremost, the New York Stankies. I had a record of 9-6 this season. I believe winners of 3 in a row. Come from behind fashion this past afternoon, in which they came from behind and beat the Cleveland Guardians 5-4. But soon after the game winning hit, there was an altercation in the outfield with the players and the fans, in which the fans were throwing debris on the field because of whatever happened with the Guardians player. Only thing I was going to really talk about when it came to the Stankies was Gerrit Cole. The New York Yankees still can't score. Up until, matter of fact, I believe now they have averaged 3.25 runs a game in the first 15 games of the season. Home runs are down, average is down, on base percentage is down. They can't score one runs. Bad average in runners in scoring position. Nope. Bottom third of the league. They still can't score. The pitching is good for now, but the bullpen is going to be gassed by the summer. I mean, doesn't that usually happen? And then they try to have to pick up people from the scrap heap or call people up from the farm system. I don't know how good their farm system is this year, but I know in the past that's what they've done. And try to plug in the holes. Because there's usually injury in the starting rotation. Or there's one or two legs of that rotation that ain't living up to snuff. But to Gerrit Cole, he couldn't make it out the second inning when he was going against the Detroit Tigers. He used the weather as an excuse. But on that same night in Queens, Max Scherzer had a no-hitter going into the sixth inning. A six-inning no-hitter so far. It was cold here. And it was brick. It was like 38 degrees that night. Not using no fucking excuse. Were you trying to say that Scherzer knows how to get some sticky stuff on it? Or maybe he's just a better pitcher. But he's not using no fucking excuses. When will the Yankees realize that Gerrit Cole is a bad investment? Think about it this way. Oh, my Yankee fans out there. Who, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not a Yankee fan. Because, you know, I never really talk about the Yankees. But, got to turn over a new leaf for the new season. But they gave Gerrit Cole 9 years. Who else is trying to get 9 years from the New York Yankees? And the Yankees are holding staunch in their belief. No, we're not going that far. Aaron Judge. So once again, how do you think Aaron Judge is perceiving all this? Like, whoa. Hold on, he's thinking it up. But he got 9 years. I'm still showing and proving. Y'all fell over your own feet running to sign this dude for 9 years. Not even in his third fucking full year. The warts are starting to show already. Me? Been here. Done that. But y'all can't show me the bread. Y'all can't show me the dinero. What the fuck? Okay, you'll see. Aaron Judge, I go over to Queens. You know? I be a jefe over there. I stay in the city because the city love El Jefe, but they don't love me. They love me. You must love me. I don't know why I just got into it like a Tony Montana / Razor Ramon, like Aaron Judge's Spanish. I don't think he's Spanish. Is it? Regardless, that would be fucking poor. Anyway, my New York Mets are currently 11-5 on the season. They did lose tonight at Arizona 5-2. But going into the rubber game of the series, I feel confident they will pick up another W and continue the streak of not losing a series yet in this young season. They're manufacturing runs. They're playing small ball. They got good defense. They got good off pitching. Their bullpen is holding up. What else is there to say? I really have no complaints. And it feels different. You know why it feels different? Because of our manager. We don't have a flash in the pan. We don't have a novice. We don't have a person that just said, you know, let me come and get this job, take this job because I have some type of name recognition, but I really don't give a fuck about the job. No, we have Buck Showalter, veteran manager, veteran baseball guy. That's my guy. This is who we have at the helm. And I truly believe that in the next 2 to 3 years, we will not only go to the playoffs. No, not only go to the World Series. No, we will win the World Series in the next 2 to 3 years. You heard it out of Donnie Ooh's mouth here. First, 2 to 3 years. That might be a kiss of death. Because anything, part of the reason why I like Golden State so much, even though I'm talking about baseball right now, because that's the only team that I could truly say that I rooted for, and they've never consistently disappointed. Yeah. The Mets. Hey. The Jets. I don't even want to talk. Draft next week, you know. The Knicks. Why? How you think I end up with Golden State also? So, a lot of the teams that I root for, they let me down. Even they get to the precipice of victory, they let me down. But, and usually if I'm rooting for them hard, that's when they let me down the most. But, go New York, the fucking New York Mets, next 2 to 3 years, world champions. We will get that trophy up and running. Hopefully, I haven't heard nothing new about Jacob DeGrom. But right now, as long as we're playing the way we're playing, that's a plus. Cause we get, like I call Jacob DeGrom coming back around All-Star break. He comes back healthy around All-Star break. Now you got him and Scherzer. Sometimes maybe you could rest Scherzer a little bit, get him ready for the offseason, depending on how the division is stacking up at the time. It's going to be good. Going to be good. I believe there are going to be meaningful games in December. No, meaningful games in September for my Amazons. Usually the only meaningful games in September are my Jets. That's because they're beginning of the season. By October, the season has been over. But hopefully, this year, the Mets will play deep into October. Well, people, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie U podcast. As I said in the beginning, I'll say it again. Thank you, everyone, for making me and this podcast the one y'all choose to listen to. Whew! Next week, more of the same. Next week also is the NFL draft, in which my New York Jets, Jets have two picks in the top 10. Pick number 4 and pick number 10. And the New York Football Giants also have two picks in the top 10. Pick number 5 and pick number 7. So at least for the first hour and a half, New York will be fully focused on the NFL draft, and so will I. At my shoe job. Perhaps. Oh, I could listen to it. Who knows? But I will be in tune and I will let you know the ins and outs of the selections of the Jets and Giants next week. I will also continue to talk about the NBA playoffs. It's fantastic! And maybe the, you know, the aftermath in Brooklyn, if and when they are eliminated, maybe some more skeletons will creep their ass out the closet and give me some material to work with. But yeah, I'll talk about that. And unless there's another brawl in the stadium, I will talk about maybe the New York Mets and those fucking stankies. I know this week, I don't know why I kept on talking like that. I know this week, I was trying not to make this shit overly long, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking at the time and I'm getting kind of tired and hungry at the same time. But I did not give, what the hell was I thinking? Can't change my pick! Its own segment this week. I kind of added it in because the more I think about it, the stuff that I predicted still really has come true so far. I predicted my finals to be Milwaukee versus my Warriors. And so far, I don't know how the path is going to go, but so far it's still holding true. But, yeah, so next week will be the return of the full-fledged. What the hell was I thinking? Can I change my pick? Yeah. Once again, I still cannot outdo my mother effing plugs from a couple weeks ago. So I will not choose. I would choose not to even try. But what I will do is tell you that you should check out Hidden Gems Golf and Hip Hop Hidden Gems, both hosted by the Mojo King. Hip Hop Hidden Gems hosted by the Mojo King and his partner, Willie Freeman. And both of those podcasts by the Mojo King, he unearths all the hidden gems in both the world of fantasy golf and the world, or should I say, the history of hip-hop. Check out Hip-Hop Hidden Gems and Hidden Gems Golf. Check out the brothers. Check out the homies. Check out the Black Wrestling Podcast. Check out the check out the Black Wrestling Podcast, the homies, fam, Cal, Drip, Math, Happy Born Day, Math. Check them out on YouTube, like and subscribe. Check them out on YouTube, like and subscribe. And last but not least, check out the Black Wrestling Podcast with Math, Drip, Fam, and Mimi. Check out them on YouTube, like and subscribe. Check out Gimmick Infringement. Check out Gimmick Infringement, Winchester and McDowell. Winchester and McDowell! When they recap the past week's happenings in AEW, they'll sprinkle in some WWE, they'll sprinkle in some hot take Ty, they will sprinkle in a whole bunch of antidotes that will make the time fly by. Check out Gimmick Infringement. Gimmick Infringement and Hip Hop Hidden Gems and Hidden Gems Golf are a part of the 19 Media Group. Check out the brother. Check out the homie. Check out the bro. Check out Body More Bottles. Check out Body More Bottles on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Check them out for the latest in Black culture, lifestyle, and culture. Check them out for cigar reviews. Check them out for Black-owned breweries. Check them out for Black-owned wineries. Check out Body More Bottles. Just check out the brother. He's a hard-working brother. And salute to that man. Check out Body More Bottles on YouTube. Like and subscribe. And those are the plugs for everyone else. Of course, you're listening to me, so you kind of know what to do. But check out me. Yeah, the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh. And check out the fucking site, easytree.me/WordofDonnieOoh. For everything Donnie Ooh. Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh merch. Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh podcast can be both reached and can be both purchased on easytree.me/WordofDonnieOoh. This podcast is heard on multiple streaming platforms. Wherever podcasting is available. You got Apple Podcasts, you got Spotify, you got Anchor.fm, amongst others. If you take my RSS feed and insert it into your podcast apparatus, you know what will happen. Donnie Ooh's black ass will pop up on said feed. Normally, I would say you don't want that, but being the fact that I'm trying to get as many streams possible, yes, I do want that. Just check out and spread the word. Spread the word of the Salty Thoughts of Donnie Ooh. Those are the mother effing plugs. I don't know how they came out, nor do I really care at this point in time. So, I don't even have any fucking witty antidote to really end this shit up on, which is really bugging me out because I'm like, damn. Usually I have more humor at my disposal, and I just don't have it right now. So, with all that said and done, I will bid y'all adieu to next week. Goodbye.
Bye.